All righty. So take your Bibles tonight to Colossians chapter 3. So anyway, this is going to be how to dress biblically. Is anybody interested in how to dress biblically? Is anybody interested? Now, you know, tonight, some of you think, oh, no, here he comes. He's going to rant and rave for 45 to 85 minutes on bikinis and shorts and all this kind of stuff. And that is not what I'm going to do. Let me say in preface to this message tonight, Colossians chapter 3, in preface to this message, that I found out something over the years, that if people are right with God, you never have to preach on dress. Yeah. If a person's right, if a person's really met Jesus and has at least a little bit of desire, now every once in a while they somebody just plumb don't know. They just absolutely was so heathen they didn't have a clue. But even them folks, you know, they seem to catch on real quick. And so that's why I don't spend a whole lot of time preaching on dressing. But tonight I've just got to do it because it's wintertime, and I sure think y'all know how to dress in the wintertime. Amen. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you bless this message. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have a good time in you. I believe, Lord, that you meant for us to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And God, you're not a hard taskmaster, Lord. You're a good master tonight, and you're a blessing. And Lord, tonight I thank you for showing us what really counts when it comes to what we ought to put on and what we ought to put off. And so, Lord, help us tonight to know. I pray, Lord, maybe this message will stay in somebody's hearts. Maybe, Lord, it'll stick with us in a way maybe that it wouldn't otherwise. And Lord, we just dedicate and consecrate this time to you for your glory and honor in our lives. Lord, I pray that we'd be concerned about what we're putting on the inner man rather than so much about what's on the outward, God. And so, Lord, teach us, help us, and bless us tonight, Lord, and help us, God, to be a blessing back to you. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were yet sinners, giving your Son to die for our sins and shedding his blood. Lord, I cannot comprehend the fullness of that, God, but I do accept it and believe it. And so, Lord, I pray tonight for these folks and myself, Lord, that you'd help us to be a church, a body of believers that dress right biblically. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Colossians chapter 3, in your Bibles, that old King James Authorized Version Bible. You know, I know we use the term King James because that was who was in authority, who authorized it to be done. But he didn't translate it, amen? He was just the king when it was translated. There's about 60-some men that worked in, I think, I forget how many different committees, cross-checking each other every time as they translated. And the Holy Spirit was in that thing. But there were men of God who translated the Bible, and men who were willing to let the Holy Spirit lead them, and men who were willing to let other men check what they were doing. And they weren't out trying to sell Bibles for money. That wasn't the addition. It wasn't trying to make a new Bible to sell. They was trying to get the Bible in average man's hands that he could read and understand and comprehend. And boy, what God did with that Bible when it got unleashed on this world. Amen. You and I are a result tonight of that Bible being unleashed in this world. And so I'm glad for that. And I'm glad to have a God and a Bible that helps us in living. Verse number 5, let's just start with verse number 1. It's a wonderful chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, when we are, if we're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. That's a fact, folks. We died with Christ. We entered into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Ye are dead with Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Sometimes hard for me and you to see it, isn't it? But we have his eternal life hid with Christ in God. And he said in verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, underline that in your Bible, amen. When Christ, who is our life tonight. Boy, I'm glad he's our life. Man, I'll tell you what, I got somebody living in me. I've got somebody who gave me life. And I love that. Shall appear. He's coming back, Lord. Boy, amen. He's coming back. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You can write a reference down at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I tell you what, how you going to come back with him if you ain't with him? I've always said that. Amen. That's hillbilly logic. I don't need a theologian to figure that out for me. And then verse number 5 says, mortify therefore your members. That means kill them. That means crucified. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God, cometh on the children of disobedience, in which time ye also walked, sometime when you lived in them. Verse number 8, we're going to start preaching right here. God says, I want to teach you how to dress. Now, he said, before we put some stuff on, we've got to take some stuff off. Isn't that right? Before you can put some stuff, before you can get dressed right, you may have to take some things off. May have to take some things out of the closet before you can get the right stuff on. Oh, some of you is dreading coming to church tonight. You thought I was going to preach on women wearing breeches and men wearing dresses and all that kind of stuff. And I ain't. Again, I'm going to tell you, get right with God and nobody have to tell you what's right. The Holy Ghost of God will be your teacher. But let's look at it tonight. Now, my wife, I made her do the dirty work tonight. And some of you men that came in, she pinned a paper to your back. All right. And so what I want you to do, if you've got a paper pinned to your back, I want you to let your wife or somebody around you look at it and tell you if you're the one that's got it. And you're going to have to come up here because we're going to put off some things and put on some things. OK, the first thing the Bible says for you and I to do as Christians is put off all these. The first thing God says, if you want to dress right biblically, get the garment of anger off your soul. Who is it tonight that's got anger tagged on your back? Oh, doesn't he look, come on up here, Brother Cato, don't he look angry? He's been a blessing to this church, hasn't he? Been a real blessing. I tell you what, he's up on Sunday mornings at that door, ready to do business for God. Brother Caleb, come on up tonight. And brother, hey Caleb, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you're wearing, you can't hardly see that. Boy, look, he's wearing anger around. You know, the Bible said you wear anger around. The Bible would not have told you to put off anger if you hadn't put it on. How many's ever put on anger? Oh my, tonight. My goodness. You know, before I die, Brother Jeremy, I want to put anger off. Before I die, I want to put anger off. You say, Reggie, what is anger? I got to looking up because it says anger, wrath, and malice, and all that stuff. Anger is an inward heat. It's inward heat. It's the starting of a lot worse stuff. It's being incensed or on fire or flamed up. Okay, it's a kindling of the fire, and it's a resentment, and it can become passions that can turn it. It's excited by real or perceived injury. Usually what makes people angry is that they perceive or it's a real or perceived injury and a desire inside you to do something about it, to execute vengeance or whatever. You know something tonight, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Anger, I've decided that anger is doing far more damage in my life and everybody else's life than everyone admit. I will tell you about anger, it'll ruin your family. It will absolutely blow your family out of the water. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, I don't care what we are here at this church. Because most of us never, ever act in this church like we act at home. And it's not, and I'm not talking about some kind of righteous indignation. I'm not. I'm talking about that old ungodly out of hell anger that ruins relationships. I'm going to tell you about our children. They grow up with anger in that home. It's going to be hard to ever fix it. It's going to be hard to ever fix it. And the Bible says that we need to put off anger. So you know what? I've been asking the Lord. I was doing my devotions this week, how I come up with this message. And watch me stick myself. That's what anger usually does, doesn't it? It usually hurts you. But God, the Bible says put it off. So Caleb, we're going to take that off tonight. But you know it's not enough just to take something off. We've got to be clothed, because in the latter section of the verse there, he talks about putting on some stuff. So we're going to put something on tonight, and we're going to try some things here. Now, Caleb, I don't know whether this will work or not. Let's start off down here. Let's see. This ain't even the right stack. Let's see if we start off over here. Oh, yeah. We're going to get something going on here. Yeah, right here. Here's something. I want you to try this on. Would you try this on? Now, let's see if this works or not. Here we go. Try that on. All righty. How does it fit? Fit okay? A little bit big? It's okay. All right. Turn around. I want you to see what you just put on. God says put off anger. You read your Bible. Next few verses. What's it say up there in look at verse number 12. Put therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies. He said put, verse number 12 says put on something. Verse number 8 says put off stuff. This is the Bible. God says to do it. God says put anger off. I want to ask you tonight, how many right now just say, Lord, let's just pray. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we want to pray right now in this church that you'd help us by your grace and your power, by the Holy Spirit of God, put anger out of our lives. Put it off. Lord, I've been an angry man most of my adult life. Lord, I don't think I was like that when I was a kid. I don't remember being angry when I was a kid. But Lord, somewhere along the trail, Lord, anger got in my soul. And God, it's like got a root in it that goes way down. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that you'd put it off. Enable me, Lord, to take responsibility. And I pray, God, tonight that we'll put it off and we'll put something on, Lord. Instead of anger, I pray kindness. Lord, these kids growing up in our homes and families don't need to live in an angry home. Help us, Lord, to see it for what it is, sin and destructive. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me, wash me, and I pray, God, put it off of me. And I ask it for Jesus' sake and your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Caleb, I'll tell you what tonight. How many tonight would like to put that on? All right. Why don't we just ask God tonight? I'll tell you what, Brother Caleb, I'm going to ask you to do tonight. Would you lead us in prayer that God would help us, enable us? See, it's not enough just to put off. God wants us to put something on. I want us to put on that kindness. Wouldn't it be nice to come to church where people's kind to each other? You know what? Most of you, the truth about it is, you've been beat all over the head during the week. One way or another, you've put up with people, and I'm telling you what, now people can be mean and cruel. Now, I'm going to tell the church something tonight. You listen to me well. As sorry as I am, and I'm not a good pastor, and you know that. That's not pious statement. That's not fishing for compliments. That is a fact. I'm not naturally, you know, real merciful and real pastoral and check on you and stuff. If I hear you're near to death, I might run over and check on you, watch you die or something like that. But, you know, you know, I'm just not real pastoral, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I do have more of that in me than you might think. One thing I cannot take, and that is people in this church being unkind to other people in this church. I don't like it. And if you start talking to me bad about other people in this church, especially people who are serving, I ain't going to go for it. I ain't going to put up with it. Why? Because there ain't no point in being unkind to people who are just trying to serve God in this church. Has nothing to do with anything else. It's just nature. I'm going to tell you something. I've had a few old cows that are bully cows. They ain't going to let nobody else eat at the trough. They're going to horn everything that comes around them. I don't like that. And I'm going to tell you something. In this church, we need to be in this church. We need to be kind one to another. We need to be kind to each other. By the way, you kids, you don't be beating on your brothers and sisters. You don't pick on each other. You be kind to each other. You say, well, I tell you what, I can whoop my brother and sister. I hope when you grow up, they whoop the daylights out of you. Because I want to tell you, that's sorry low down. You don't be unkind to your brothers and sisters. You be kind to them. Be kind. The Bible describes Jesus Christ to be kind. Say, Reggie, how can you preach this message? When I studied Moses, all I could see reading over there was Jesus Christ. Merciful. Gracious. Good, truth, abundant, and all that stuff. I could just see Jesus. So I flipped that to the New Testament, and I say all this. I said, you know what? It's not enough for me to know about Jesus is that way. We are to be conformed to His image. God wants you, Jesus, the Bible, there's actually only two or three descriptions, personal descriptions of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, personal descriptions, and one of them talks about the gentleness and the kindness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to tell us tonight, you know what I want to do? I want to put off anger, and I want to put on some kindness. And I want my grandkids, you know, if they walk by my casket, Brother Phil, I don't want them to say, well, Grandpa, I'm glad he's gone. He was angry all the time. I want to say Grandpa was kind. I'm going to think Grandpa was kind. Let me tell you something, let's be kind people. That's Christianity. Christianity is kindness. It's not cutting somebody's head off. It's kindness. And I just want to say to you again tonight, I'm as sorry as I am, and I'm nobody to be saying this, but as your pastor, don't ever set me down at your kitchen table. Don't ever have me sit in your car, and you start tearing somebody else in this church up. I'll probably never be towards you what I once was, ever, unless I see in you a deep, deep repentance. That's dangerous stuff. Okay, you can go sit down, but not with my coat. I'm not that kind. Just lay that over there, Brother Caleb. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Look at the next thing right here. The Bible says to put off wrath. Who's got wrath tonight on your back? Wrath. Oh, wrath. You know, that just fits him, doesn't it? Doesn't he just full of wrath and everything? Wrath, wrath is the next move up from anger. And wrath is when that anger, that heat that's inside you, explodes out into a full-fledged fire. It's like there was a little kindle of a fire burning out there in the woods, and all of a sudden the wind caught it, and it starts burning trees down and burning houses down. And when your anger turns into wrath, it's going to burn your house down. It's going to catch people on fire. It's going to catch, I mean, it spreads like wildfire, and you know what it'll do? It'll destroy and burn everything out that's going. Wrath is when anger is moved to action. It's a burning rage, and it gets out of control. You've literally lost it. It's whenever pans start hitting the sides of the wall and coffee cups start throwing. Elbow your wife right there, fellas. Or ladies, elbow your husband. It's when things start flying. It's when that anger turns into wrath. It's when somebody, you want to hit somebody. It's when you start giving that killing look in your eye. Now you listen to me tonight. You can get angry and you can get full of wrath. And you can have your spell, but don't you expect your kids just to get over it all of a sudden. Ain't going to happen. You're going to wake up next morning, you're going to head to work, and you think everything ought to be fine in your house. Ain't going to be. You talk to your children or wife like a dog, you think everything's going to be all fine, it ain't going to be fine. Once that anger gets out of control, you've got big trouble on your hands. Big trouble. It's going to burn some relationships. It's going to burn some bridges. And I'm going to tell you something about life. You don't want to burn bridges. Don't burn bridges. That wrath will get you. You'll say, boy, I don't have no fellowship with my kids. Well, you might want to look back and see if some anger and wrath didn't bust and burn down that bridge. Now, I don't care who you are out here tonight. You can't tell me. I'm going to tell you something. I know this from both sides of the street, from having been angry and wrathful toward people and having received other people's wrath. You just don't get, I don't care how spiritual you think you are, you do not get over it. Relationships are never the same. Very seldom do they ever get back like they could have been and once been. You can be married for 20 years and you just endure each other. And I'm going to tell you something. I have sat and listened to couples tell me we live together, but we don't even feel like we're married. They just exist. The only reason we're together is because we don't believe in divorce. And they'll tell you that. That's a sorry way to live life. Right here, I'd say, is one of the biggest problems that we've got. And so, brother, anyway, let's see what we can. You want to take that off? Why don't you just take that whole thing off? We'll see what we can find you here. Oh, yeah, right here. What did you do with yours, Brother Cape? It's over there. Here, let's try this and on it right here. And we'll take off that. Brother Dennis, see if we can put that on right there. All righty. Okay. Let's see what that is. God says to do this. You look up your Bible in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That's a very, very important phrase. Bowels of mercy. You know what that means? From the depths deep down inside your soul, from down inside of who you are, God wants you to have mercy. God is a merciful God. And when we're saved, God wants us to be a merciful people. That means that you learn to forgive. Forgiving does not mean that you agree with them, that you think what they did was okay, that it's all right, but God wants you to forgive. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is a characteristic of God. And I want to tell you something. Do not allow yourself to put off that other junk. Get and put on mercy this week. We need to put on mercy. We need to forgive people. That needs to be part of who we are. You say, I want to dress like a Christian. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not talking about sleeveless this and I'm not talking about garments and this. I'm talking about the garments of the soul. And so let's pray right now. Brother Terry, I'd like for you to lead us in prayer tonight that God would make this church, this people, a merciful people. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you're not going to make it. You are not going to make it in your Christian journey with victory personally, if you don't put on mercy. You don't make it. You'll wind up in the ditch and be lucky if you don't stay in the ditch till Jesus comes. I didn't say you lost your salvation. I said you get in the ditch. Mercy brings freedom. And I'm telling you, we all need mercy. Amen. So Brother Terry, lead us tonight. Let's put on. Listen, I just don't want to preach this message tonight. And, oh, that was nice. Let's put it on. God said, put it on. Let's put it on tonight. Let's right now say, dear God in heaven, by your grace, I'm putting mercy on as part of my soul. Brother Terry, lead us tonight. Brother Dennis, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, tonight there's another one. It said put off anger and wrath. Who's got malice tonight on your back? You got malice? Oh my! Let me tell you. Have you ever heard somebody say he's malicious or she's malicious? We hear a lot about anger and wrath, but we don't hear much about malice. You never hear somebody say, "Oh, he's full of malice." But malice, I believe, is so bad. I read about it, and it says it's an enmity of heart. It's an ill will toward other people with a desire to see hurt or damage come to their life. It's kind of like, you had a competitor and you wish they'd get killed or die so you'd have all the business. It's just that inward, it's not out where everybody can see it, but inside. It's kind of like wishing a preacher die so you can get the pulpit or something like that. I mean, I'm just serious with you. You say, well, I can't imagine that. Yeah, have stuff happen. You maybe hope somebody that has got maybe on a higher pay scale than you are, you hope they have to move or something, and maybe that'll bump you up. You have an ill will kind of motivated by jealousy or greed or whatever, and it breeds this discontent in you, and it's a hope to see or desire to see hurt in somebody else. It's generally brought on by jealousy. It's an enmity, an evil intent, a desire for something bad to happen to that person so you can increase and improve your lot in life. It's malice. And I'll tell you the truth about it. It's malice. Usually you can't see it that easy. Malice is down inside. It's way hidden down inside a person. It's stuff you would never get up and testify in church and say, I just want to stand and say tonight I'm having a problem with malice. I've been wishing some people would die so I could do better in life. Nobody gets up and testifies like that. You ain't going to tell nobody that. But it's what the devil will put in your heart. If you ain't careful, you're wishing somebody else. You think, well, if that would happen, I could get a better share of that business, or I could get more business of this, that, or the other. And it's malice. Or I could move up in things. I could, we kind of wish this would happen or that would happen. Let me tell you about malice. It can be wishing your mom and daddy die so you get an inheritance. That's malice. That's malicious. It's malicious to wish bad on somebody else just so you can do a little bit better. And so anyway, the Bible talks about, so we could take malice off, and we'll do that. I've been wanting to do this a long time. Stick him, right? Okay. Ben, thank you. Hey, you know what? Let's do something. Ben, let's find something else to put on. You want to put something else on side? Hey, Ben, won't you lead us in prayer that we'll not want to grow and to success on the backs of other people's hurts and failures. Pray for us tonight, would you?
Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the new life that you gave us, Lord. I just pray that you'll help us with the sin and malice, Lord. Just pray that you'll get out of our hearts and lives, Lord. Just pray that you'll be kind, Lord. All people have good thoughts toward all people and have malice toward none, Lord. And just pray that you'll just help us through our daily lives, Lord. Help us not close to walk with you and just help us keep this out of our lives.
Amen. Amen. You know, while he's praying, something come to me. You play basketball, don't you? Huh? Is that malice? You wish you as good as he was? That actually was just the thing that came to my mind. How many's ever sat on the bench before besides me? How many's ever wished that somebody would twist their ankle so you could get in? Do you see where I'm going with this? But you wouldn't jump up and say, Coach, let's just pray that so-and-so break his ankle so I can play tonight. You wouldn't say to your daddy, Mom, Daddy, please pray tonight that Job busts his ankle so I can get on the floor. But if you ain't careful, that secret thought will come through your mind. We need to put off malice. That'll destroy you. Well, let's see what we can find. I don't know here what we can find for you to put on. Let's see here. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. This is one thing the Bible says over and over again to be clothed with. Well, he looks pretty good in that, don't he? I guarantee anybody looks good in this coat. Everybody and anybody looks good in that coat. Did you know there's not a soul in this church for what doesn't appreciate and admire someone who is truly humble? God says, be clothed with humility. He says in that passage of Scripture, you can read it in your Bible right there, he said, humbleness, put on humbleness of mind. Put on humbleness of mind. The Bible says that we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but to esteem each other greater than ourselves. We ought to, lowliness of mind. The Bible's full of it. Be clothed with humility. And I'll tell you what let's do tonight. Let's pray for humility tonight. Brother Stamper, now listen to folks tonight. I got some bad news for you, and I'm just going to tell you right now. We're going to close service out tonight. Brother Stamper and his family's moving. They're getting out of the will of God. I had to throw that in there, didn't I, Brother Stamper? But they're going back up to Montana, and they're doing it pretty quick. And he's also got some health issues that he's going up there about. You didn't know I knew that, did you? Or you may have suspected it. But anyway, they're going to be leaving. They're leaving Wednesday, and I'm sick about it. I've been trying to tell them for a week that they're out of the will of God. But you pray for them that God will get them back right with him, and they'll come back. But Brother Stamper, I love that family. I appreciate them. And they just got, I just got my heart warmed up to them real good, and they jerked the rug out from underneath us, I'm still trying to work on you. But I like them. I like them. They're good for a church. Brother Stamper, once you lead us tonight, that we'll be humbleness of mind. Let's all pray that we'll put on humility. Tomorrow morning and tonight, we wake up, we'll put it on. We'll dress right for God tomorrow, okay? Pray for us, Brother Stamper. I want to encourage you. You wear humility all your life, and I'll tell you what, God will exalt you. Isn't that what the Bible said? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you in due time. I want to encourage you, but you can't have my coat. All right. I don't know how I come up with all these jackets over the years, but boy, I come up with a bunch of them. Well, the Bible says put off something else. It says blasphemy. Who's got blasphemy on you? Who's got blasphemy? Oh, my land of living. Blasphemy. I always associated blasphemy with, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But you know something I learned from Ray Comfort, and I got studying it out. Blasphemy is that's way on down the line. It you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but blasphemy is very cursing, taking God's name in vain is blaspheming. If you use God's name in vain, you blaspheme. It is to talk about God in a negative, a derogatory way in any shape, manner. By the way, blasphemy, Webster's old dictionary that has the Christian definitions in it says, if I understood it right, that to blame God is blasphemy. To accuse God of that which he is not guilty of is blasphemy because it's speaking irreverently of God. The old timers believed that if you spoke in any manner which was disrespectful of God Almighty, you were blaspheming. God says, put it off. Quit blaming God, quit accusing God, and put it off. Well, let's put on something here tonight. Let's just go over here and see what we got. I don't know what we got here tonight, but boy, I'll tell you what. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Here, let's put that on. By the way, I'm going to tell you right out front before we... we got to put something off before we put something on, ain't we? Should I stick it? There you go. All right, now you can put that on. I'm just afraid some of these young boys are going to try to steal with my clothes tonight. All right, Kendra. It's too big for you anyway, ain't it? You know, there's a lesson in that. Some of this stuff's just too big for me. I ain't big enough Christian to wear some of these things. Meekness. Meekness is yielding your rights, not having to have your way about everything. Abraham and Lot, your great example back in the Old Testament. Abraham said, you take the left, I'll take the right. You take the right, I'll take the left. Said, I'm going to be meek and give up. Abraham could have whooped him and everybody with him. Abraham's a man of war. Abraham could win a fight. But Abraham said, hey, we be brethren. Don't have no strife. You go that way. He said, evidently we're not going to get along. But let's don't be fighting and striving. You go one way, I'll go the other, whatever it is. Meekness. You don't have to win every argument with your spouse. You don't have to have the last word. What have you got when you got the last word? Not much. Not much. Just be meek and tell her you ain't listened to her and go to bed. No, I'm just teasing you. That'll really fix it, won't it? That'll fix it, won't it? And being meek, you know, we don't have to. I don't have to. What's this? I don't have to be thanked. I don't have to be honored. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be appreciated. I don't have a right to anything except hell. I don't have to have all this stuff. And Lord, I'm just going to yield all my rights. And if you spend your life saying, well, nobody appreciates me around here, you're going to have a miserable life. If you spend your life saying, I haven't been thanked in 3 months, you know what? Every once in a while I get on a pity party and I say, I'll tell you what, you know, just go every day trying to make a living and walk in the house and nobody ever says thank you. I don't have a right to be thanked. It's my duty and my privilege and my responsibility to make a living for my family. Amen? By the way, meekness extends every direction. Well, we got to run. We're going to keep everybody here all night, but you can't have that vest either. I'm not very loving and kind tonight, am I? Well, it says another thing. Put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Who's got that? Filthy communication out of your mouth. She's picking on you Wilson boys tonight. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Well, I ain't going to go into a lot of stuff like that. Let's just get it off. That ought to be a given. Filthy communication ought not, dirty jokes and all that stuff and bad talking, it ought not be coming out of our mouth. That's a pretty given thing tonight. We'll put that up. But I would say filthy communication. Let's run that a little bit deeper. We ought not be watching filth. Oh, my goodness sake to life. Brother Lakey, go. I tell you what, he made me mad teaching by class this morning, didn't he? You? How many got mad while he was teaching? He got on John Wayne. Well, you mean amen? Whose side you on, his or mine? Serious to goodness. Boy, he said something this morning, stuck with me. He said, you're going to find out that where they got that stuff was stuff he was putting up with. And, you know, here a while back, I think I told you, I was at had an auction up there north of Hartville up there, and there's stuff there in the yard, you know, going down through there. And there's a box, a whole box of John Wayne movies. And I thought to myself, winter's coming on, and it'd be nice to eat popcorn, drink Coca-Cola, and watch John Wayne shoot people dead and steal other men's wives and cuss. So I bought that box. Didn't work. Didn't work out. Had to send John Wayne to the trash pile. But anyway, we're going to put some on. I think I have. Have I sent him to the trash pile or not yet? Let's see. Maybe I hid him away to make Karen thought I put him away. All righty. Let's try this on right here. And it's a shame, isn't it? Because I like John Wayne. Bless his little heart. Here you go. God said, you read it in your Bible. I ain't going to look it up. It's right there in your verse. God said, you put that on. Long suffering. That means you suffer long. Ain't that what long suffering means? Long, suffer long with people. You know what? You go to church very long, people are going to have to suffer long with them. They're going to walk up to you some Sunday morning and say, you know what, I just blah, 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 blah. And you're going to go, what in the world is that about? You know? Well, they're going to do, I ain't even going to go into all that, lest I resurrect bad memories in your mind. But the Bible teaches us to suffer long with people. God says, put that on. Brother Phil, would you pray for us? Listen, let's put it on tonight. Let's put it on. Long suffering. You've got to be long suffering with people. Brother Phil, pray for us. you, brother. I appreciate you putting up with tonight. Well, the Bible said put off something else here tonight. Put off a filthy communication. What do you have? Filthy communication. Lying. Man alive, how'd she catch up with you, buddy? You're too long-legged. I tell you what, she might have catch up with you. She pinned that line on you. Did she reach up for? Is anybody in here besides me ever lying? Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Did you know if you ain't careful, it'll become a habit in your life? My daddy used to say some folks climb a tree to lie rather than stand flat-footed on the ground and tell the truth. It just seems like they're going out of their way to lie to you. Let me tell you something. Lying can get to be a habit. Deception, any form of deception is a lie. The Bible says we need to put it off. So we're going to take this line. The Bible says take off line. Brother Bob, tonight, would you just pray that we'd take off line? You know what? Wouldn't it be nice if this church, the one thing we knew, we obey ain't lying to us. If we say we love one another, we ain't lying. If we greet one another and say good to see you, we're not lying. Amen. Brother Bob, pray for us tonight. Amen. Thank you, young man. Wait a minute. We got to put something. It ain't enough just to take something off. We got to put something on. Oh, my land. This in here is very seldom worn. And it's an interesting thing. But you look in your Bibles, God says to put it on. There you go. You kind of like that shirt? Oh, he says he likes that shirt. All right. What does that say? Forbearance. You know what that means? To bear it beforehand. What does it mean to put on forbearance? It means that before it ever happened, you've decided you ain't going to let it get you. It means that you've created such a condition in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God that before something, wouldn't it be nice to be able to handle it ahead of time? You see, you very seldom ever whip a temptation if it just hits you and you ain't done some preparation beforehand. You got to make up your mind beforehand that you go how you're going to respond when something comes. God is saying forbearance. In other words, hey, Jesus said offenses are going to come. They're going to come. Get ready, get trained, get equipped to handle them before they come. Forbearance. So you can bear it. And you're prepared ahead of time. Before time, you're prepared to bear it. Hey, you're going to see some tragedy. You're going to see some hurt. You're going to see some sickness. You're going to see some loss. You're going to see some friends blow out. You're going to see this, that, and the other. Forbearance. Bear it. The Bible said, endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. Forbearance. But you know what? Why do they train soldiers? To bear it when it comes. Why do they take men who they know are going into battle and drag them through pig's guts for several days? To get them used to seeing guts on the ground and blood on the ground. And they don't blow apart and go crazy in the midst of blood and guts. You know what you need to do in this church tonight? This may be one of the most important things you'll ever put on in your life. Because somebody's going to say something stupid to you someday, going to blow you plumb out of the water. Somebody you thought was your friend, somebody you thought loved you, they're going to do something stupid. You're going to find out if somebody wasn't what you thought they are. And it'll blow you out of the water if you don't have forbearance. Not only that, but you're going to be, that forbearance, not only in bearing it, but it also implies that you're still going to love them and appreciate them in spite of what they've done. You're forbearing them before they ever did it. Before it ever happens. You're equipping yourself and preparing. How many of you would like to be inducted in the army? They throw a gun in your hand and send you to the front lines. You say, look, could I have some training? Could I have some preparation so I can... That's what that is forbearing. Forbearing. I will tell you something I believe. I believe the lack of forbearance blows more Christians out of their walk with God than any one thing I know. We don't hear it preached about. We never hear it. We just think, well, how we're supposed to respond to it. Can I tell you something? Quit responding and learn to forbear. Don't let things catch you off guard. Prepare yourself now for rough stuff that can come. There's rough stuff going to come to your life. Right? Forbear. Get equipped ahead of time to be able to bear it. That word bear, it's a big word in there. Forbear. Being prepared for the rough stuff of life so it doesn't blow you out of the water. Does this make sense? This is of God. This is God's Word. Man, I want to tell you I appreciate it. Thank you so much, but you can't have that shirt. I'm sorry. Okay, now that's the things that God said to put off. Let's look over there in verse number 12. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at this here. Forbearing one another. So let's see what we got up here. We're going to do this real quick and get out of here. Let's see. Oh, come on. Who wants to volunteer real quick? I need somebody to volunteer real fast. All right, come on up here, boys. I don't know if this is going to fit or not, but we're going to try it. All righty. You put your left, yeah, there you go. Left-handed. Grandpa's giving the wrong instructions. All righty. You know what? This hasn't fit me very much. You know, sometimes we put stuff on and it ain't fitting very good. Forgiveness. God says to put on forgiveness. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Forgiveness don't come natural to me. I don't know about you. But we need. God says, you put that on. I wonder how many tomorrow would like to have that on when you walk out. You know, we'll be happier if we just start forgiving. Just forgive. Not because they're right. Not because they're good people. But just because God said to do it for Jesus' sake. Just for Jesus' sake, forgive Him. So tonight I want you to pray. Brother Dennis, would you lead us in prayer that we'd be a forgiving people, that we would literally not just read it in our Bibles, but we would put on forgiveness, that it would be part of who we are. Brother Dennis, lead us in prayer tonight. Give you a little bit of something tonight, write it down in your Bible. You can forgive people to the degree you love them. Don't ever forget that. Thank you. You can put that over. Now, somebody's going to have to help me put these hangers all back on tonight. You can help me. All righty. All right. There's another thing he said to put on. Come on up here, Matthew. And God says, put this on. And he said, this thing right here that you're putting on, said it needs to rule. You see, how many's reading it in your Bible? What does it say? What is it? Here it is. Okay, put your hand right in there. There you go. You're going to put this on. You're going to wear this the rest of your life. Now turn around and let everybody see what it says. What's it say? The peace of God. Let it rule in your heart. Let it rule in your heart. God says put on peace. Y'all, is everybody just wanting to fight and scrap and argue all the time? Ain't that fun? Don't that make life wonderful? How about a little peace in our homes? How about a little quiet and peace and gentle? I mean, just peace in the house. Don't you like that old song? There will be peace in the valley. Why'd somebody write that? Because, man, they're so tired of the turmoil. You know what your children need to see? They need to see peace in your house. They need to see mom and daddy at peace. I want to tell you something. Get your kids messed up. You can ask my kids. They'll tell you about it. They see mom and daddy having trouble. I tell you what, them kids will get tense and tight on you. It will affect your children. There needs to be peace ruling in our hearts and in our homes. Thank you, buddy. We've got to go. We're going to keep these people up all night, ain't we, right here? Who wants to be next? Come up here real quick. We're going to put on some Christian garments. We're going to teach how to dress. But here's the Bible says down there. Yes, sir. Come right on up here. If you look down there in the Bible in verse number 16, after it said verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, it said let the what? The word of Christ. You know what? Let me tell you something. It's one thing. Oh, you know what's wrong with Reg Kelly? Reg Kelly can quote you some Bible, and Reg Kelly can take a verse, and oh, I'll tell you what, God, He sometimes just gives me wonderful messages out of verse. But it's another thing for me to put the Word of God on daily life. It's another thing for me to take what I preach and practice it. The Bible said, the Word of God, move it. This is what God's wanting you to do. Step over here just a little bit. What God's wanting me and you to do. Now, get this tonight. He is wanting to take it from that ink and paper, and from being ink and paper to writing the Word of God on your hearts. The Bible talks about writing the Word of God on the fleshly tables of our heart. The biggest trouble I have, I know a lot of Bible here, but getting it in my heart where I wear it, where it's part of who I am, is another thing. God wants you to put that on. All right, but you can take that off, put that on here. We got to keep it moving. I think there's a John Wayne movie coming on at 9:30, and I've got to be there. Oh, who wants to put on this here? Come on, one of you boys, come right ahead. There we go. And you can get lined up next, Ian, okay? If I can get this shirt, you can tell it ain't been worn very much because I can't get the button in the button. All right, you ready? Here we go. All right, let's show them what that is. Oh, my land of living. Did you look down in that verse of Scripture? It said down in there, where is that at? Verse 16. He said, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We was coming to church tonight, and I was all worried about how I was going to get this message all set up and keep this message and trying to get this message all figured up. And we had a whole bunch of our grandkids in the car. I believe there was Langston and Heston and Rowan and Jackson and Sawyer May and Wakely in the car. Oh, what a load that was to carry to church. And we're coming to church, and I'm all about my preaching my message. And all of a sudden, we get about halfway here, and Karen says, let's sing some Christmas carols. And she started singing Christmas carols. And those kids are singing in the back. That's best of the best singing. I didn't know they could sing like that. And they got singing that one. And I forget what. We sung 7 or 8 Christmas carols on the way to church. And I said, Lord, you're just showing me what you said to put it on. Karen was doing what I was fixing to preach. See, I do the preaching. She does the living. It's about the way it works, ain't it? I mean, if you guys about like me, you do the preaching, your wife does the living. Boy, I want to tell you something. If I was you this year, I'd put singing on. Oh, listen, I'd put singing on. You say, Reggie, I just can't carry a tune in the bucket. Get you a sack. Put it in the sack. I don't care what you got to give them, but put it in the sack. Sing, amen? Sing. Oh, listen, we ought to have a song in our heart. God says put it on. Don't let Willie Nelson be the singer of your life. My goodness, Waylon Jennings talking about laying around and drinking and sudsing and whoremongering and stuff. Oh, put a song in your heart. Get up in the morning and put a song in your heart. Take off across that yard. And I know what goes on. You stepped out of your house and the devil told you how hard to I'm your heaven. Reminded you of all your enemies, the people that don't like you, and all the troubles. You singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I don't think that's the kind of singing it had in mind here. Now, once in a while, you get off in a holler and do that, okay? And you might feel a little bit, most of the time, you need to pick up singing a little bit. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, and when I am discouraged, thinking all is lost, I'm going to count my many blessings, name them one by one. I'm going to be surprised to see what God has done. Make singing. You say, well, I just don't do that. Well, you ought to do that. Eh? You ought to repent and you ought to put singing on. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. We're about out of clothes, I think we're about. Whoop, come on up here, Ian. And you can lay that right over yonder. And boy, I'll tell you what, everybody that got up here has to help put the clothes back on the I start to say curtains, the clothes on the curtains, but they're hangers. All righty. And Ian's up here tonight. And Ian, I'll tell you what, God wants everybody to put this on. God wants everybody to put this on. And here we go. Can everybody tell him what God wants to put, what God have him put on? Giving thanks, Ian. God wants us to give thanks. You look down there in your Bible, you'll find it right on down there. Where is it at, somebody? Verse number 70, what said we do in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Giving thanks. You know what? If you put thanksgiving on your soul, you'd be a lot better, nicer person to be around. I tell you, ain't the world griping enough? Hey, you turn on Fox News and CNN and all that stuff, and all it is just how bad everything is, and nobody's grateful for nothing. You know what them folks up there marching around and being hateful and everything? Why don't they stop and say, Dear God, thank you for the air we're breathing, the food we have to eat, and the place we have to live, and living in America. But we ought to give thanks. Let me tell you, thankful people. Hey! The Bible said over in Romans chapter 1, neither were they thankful. That abomination, reprobate crowd, the start of their downfall was they were not thankful to God Almighty. And let me tell you something, it'll be the start of your downfall. You and I need to be a thankful. Oh, some of you kids say, I'll tell you what, I've been drugged to church, you know. I asked a kid one day, I said, you ever been on drugs? He said, been drugged to church all my life. Oh, listen, y'all be thankful, amen. Hey, Ian, are you thankful that your mom and daddy loves you? I believe that boy's thankful. He has a good time, amen. I want to tell you something now, Ian. Does anybody know whose knife this is? Now, let me tell you something. You kids come to church with these dangerous weapons. We're going to turn you into the sheriff if you ain't careful. But you know what this thing, look at this thing. It's one of them sliding in knives. I just get, I don't know whose it is, but do you know what? We need to be thankful. Sometimes he wears a big knife. That's why I thought about him. This knife might be yours, but it's not his. Oh, tonight we need to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for these little babies being born in this church. I'm thankful for these young men growing up in this church. I'm thankful, amen, for the Word of God. Oh, listen, won't let the devil rob you. You say, oh, I'm just taking that garment of thanks and giving off. I ain't going to be thankful no more. Ian, you can take that off and go on. I appreciate it, buddy. I need somebody else to come up here tonight. We've got to get through this Bible fashion show right here. Whoop, I got to have a lady. Young man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, it ain't just for ladies. Livia. Is that right? Livia. Livia. Did I get that right, Livia? All right, Livia. I hope you don't mind helping your pastor tonight, but you just put that on tonight. Now, Livia, this is what God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. You want to take your Bibles and look there? The Bible talks about the adorning of people. Talks about what they ought to wear. He said, not that outward apparel of this, that, and the other, but he said, the adornment. And look what, in the world, God says that ladies are to adorn themselves with. You check your Bible out in 1 Peter chapter 3. Chasteness. You know what that means? You ain't flaunting yourself around. You ain't putting on a flesh show in dress or look or attitude or anything else. You're chaste. It includes modesty. And girls, that's what God wants you to put on. And boys. Amen? Amen. Hey, boys, I ain't interested in seeing your belly button your shirt up. I ain't interested in seeing that one hair you glued on off your dog on your chest. You button your shirt up. Amen. Yeah, I know what some of you boys did. You pulled the hair off your dog and glued it on here so you could kind of unbutton your button and the girls would be impressed. I don't think girls are impressed by that very much myself. But anyway, listen, Livia, you wear that the rest of your life. Before you get married and after you get married, chaste. You see that lady sitting right over as your mama? I want you to go home this week. I want you and your mama to do a lesson in a Bible study on chaste. Would you do that? Just ask her if you can all get time, have a Bible study. You just you and your mama together. And you talk about it and you talk and say, Mama, let's talk about this. Wouldn't hurt a thing, would it? You know, it'd be real good, I think, for mothers to discuss this subject with their daughters and kind of go, I bet you they may already have. They ain't no telling. But you know something, you can have that. That belongs to Karen, so you can have that. All right. All righty. Oh, listen, I need another young lady up here about this size. Another young lady. Well, come on up here. Yes, come on up here. Whoop. Now listen. This in here is hard to come by. You shop all over Springfield and can't find this, ladies. Shop all over Springfield and you can't find it. I mean, you go to store after store after store after store and it's just hard to find. But oh, it's out there if you look hard enough. You know what it is? The Bible says that ladies ought to be adorned with a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, how many, would somebody define that for me? What does that just practically mean? Don't be a loudmouth. Ladies, I'm going to be honest with you. If you want to lose respect of most people around you, just talk a lot. I'm just being honest with you. Just think you've got to inject something every time. Now, I know that I'm a bad one to be saying that. I'm serious. But the honest truth about it is that specific thing's talking to women. It says, put on the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. If God says something's a great price, it's a great price. And God says to put this on. You know what? I'm not so much worried about what physical clothes you're worrying about. But, oh, if you put this right here on, you're a long way with God. You're a long way with God. God's lining you up with the great holy women of the Old Testament when you put this on. Now listen to me, man. Talked to me the other day about his spiritual journey. I don't even know who it was. Might have been somebody in this church. And I ain't even going to mention the denomination that they came out of. But they said, Reggie, I'm going to tell you one thing. I said, I look back at that stuff and he said the women was leading that whole thing all the way. He said, even the men that were in leadership, they were under that subtle authority of the women. They marched to them women's doing that. Them women had taken over that thing. I'm going to tell you something. A meek and a quiet spirit. You want to see your kids revere God and understand as God the Father and understand that thing? You have this on. Thank you so much. You can have that too because that's Karen's. You can talk to Karen about that if you want that, okay? And there's something else right in here. Oh, my land. Listen here. You have to order this straight from heaven. You cannot get it anywhere else. If somebody else want to come, young lady wants to come. Young lady, I need a young lady. I need a young lady. What, one of you Wilson girls want to come? I don't care. You want to come real quick? Listen, I promise you, you're going to have to order this out of heaven. They do not carry it in stores, okay? This is very, very rare clothing, but God says for young ladies to put it on. And by the way, He says for men to put this on. You can turn around right here and see it. It said, be in subjection and obedience unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's in that passage of Scripture to put that on. And it goes further. Now, men, don't say goody, goody, goody. That means my wife has to mind me, because just a few later, verses later, it says, yea, but you all be subject one to another. We don't like to quote that verse, though, near as good as we do the other one, do we? But you know something? God said this is great price right here. God said this is important. And by the way, it's to all of us that we're to be subject and obedient to God-ordained authority, whoever that might be and wherever it might be. God says you put this on in your life. That's in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it's telling about adorning. Sister, thank you so much. And you can have that. That's Karen's too. And you can have. I'm giving away her stuff tonight. She said she wanted me to clean her closet up. Oh, I need a man to come up here tonight. I need a man to come up here tonight. I need a man. Oh, I'm sorry. Any young man? Any young man? I was kind of wanting to get somebody a little older. Almost a married man. That'll work. You put that old rag off, would you? I wished I had something on his back. You come up here, Phil. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, boy, we need this. The older I get and the longer I've been going, the more I see it. And this is pretty hard to come by. Pretty hard to come by. You can't just buy these in any old store right here. You just can't get it just anywhere. Brother Phil, I don't get too comfortable in that, okay? Here it is. God says, in that same passage of Scripture where it talks about adorning, it says to honor your wife as the weaker vessel. How many of you wives would like to have for Christmas just honor from your family? Some of you think that's the best Christmas present you ever got, if they just honor you for who you are. Not for what you can do for them, not for what you, this, that, and the other. But I'm going to tell you something. If we want to get dressed right as Christian people, we need to honor our wives. I'm going to tell you, that woman over there, Lee, listen to me. She married me. She left her father and her mother. And she has run all over the world back with me. She has endured no telling what, how she's done it. But I'm going to tell you something. She's conceived and bore our children, raised our children. I'm telling you what, she runs that house. She has stood by me through thick and thin. You know, the least I could do with her brother Don is to honor her. Karen needs my honor. She is deserving of my honor. And I need to honor her. God says to do that. Oh, it'd transform our marriages if we'd put this one on. Brother Phil, I appreciate it. You can't have that. By the way, how many knows where this came from? Brother Doug Hepburn had these made. After I preached the message on the eagle, and I had one made for Karen and I, and it's got the eagles right there, the husband and the wife eagle. And he put Reg and Karen on it. Isn't that something? You wonder why I revere and respect those people that have been in this church? That's the reason. But you can't have that jacket. All right.
Well,
this happens frequently. But I need another man to come up here and put this on. Who wants to come up here? Young man? Married man? It don't matter. I got to have somebody. We're going to be here all night. Somebody don't jump up here. Amen. Come on, Daniel. You're going to need this one, Daniel. You're going to need this, buddy. All righty. Now, this is a good coat. I ain't joking. When it gets cold, put this coat on. I want you to see what God tells a man to put on. And you know what? It got all crumpled up. And that's the way it does a lot of times in life. But it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Didn't I tell you, you're going to need that? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. God tells you in that passage of Scripture where it talks about adorning, to adorn yourself, to adorn your life with love for your wife as Christ loved the church. I'm going to preach on that. Every husband in this church does it to the extreme abundance. So I ain't have to preach on that. Thank you, Brother Bob. Amen. All right. Last thing here tonight. Back in that text of Scripture, it said, above all, do something. Did anybody find it? This is an overcoat. This goes over everything. What's it say in your passage of Scripture? Charity. Above all, God says, hey, after you put on everything, you see, you can have all that other stuff, but if you don't have on charity, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. He said, above everything, he said, you put on charity. This is what God says to put on. I'll give you something else tonight. The Bible said to put on. You ought to try putting this on tomorrow morning when you wake up and get up. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, I've got to quit tonight. But you know what? Does that make sense tonight that we've talked about, learned about dressing like a Christian ought to dress? That's biblical dress. Amen? That's biblical dress. And isn't it funny? God just laid it all out there for us. You've been so good tonight. I want us to stand together and let's pray that God will help us put on the overcoat of charity. That above all, have fervent charity one with another. Brother Jeremy Hopper, would you lead us in prayer that God would give us charity, that we'd put it on? Listen, folks, tonight, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in playing a game. I'm not interested in hypocrisy, and I may never get to where I'd like to be, but I sure want to be heading that direction. Let's put these, I'm going to make a suggestion to you tonight. Everybody listening? I would suggest that you'd meditate this week in what to put off and to put on. Just take some time, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, and meditate on it and pray over it. So there'll be more than just preaching tonight, okay? Brother Jeremy, dismiss us if you will.